from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here on the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, EB, and JP. If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always hit us up on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067.
You know, Jason.
Yes, sir.
You need to text your boy and get some nugget. Have you been texting him, by the way?
What boy? I got many boys.
Trace.
Oh.
You should have capitalized on that.
No. See, the thing about texting Trace, like during a season or during camp,
he likes to lock in.
He locks in. He doesn't respond.
He blows you off.
I mean, I guess you can call it that. Or he's just not checking texts on the regular.
Text the dad.
I did.
And what did dad tell you?
He said he's heard nothing but good things about Jahan.
Right, right.
That is a Penn State brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, did Dotson have a reputation for having a bad attitude? He goes, not that I'm aware of, always good from my standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he thinks Trace is going to play the second half on Sunday. He goes, my gut tells me he'll get some time, not sure how much. But I'm just, Trace isn't going to give me anything.
Yeah. Like, plus, he's not going to tell me a minute. He's literally been there for...
Yeah, but he knows the vibe. Even only been there
he's
a few
not
days.
Say, he's, yeah, I mean, he's not going to say anything bad about it.
Not publicly, but he might privately.
Yeah, I mean, even privately, he'd probably just say, yeah, everything's good.
Yeah.
But I never heard anything bad about Dotson.
I get that.
Last night, you had two preseason games. I bring them up because has Quinn said that Jane Daniels isn't going to play? I don't think we've heard that officially,
I don't think he's gone on the record with that.
Yeah, we asked him that. What was his?
I was looking at the preseason games last night. If you look at the Bears Chiefs game, all right, Mahomes of course didn't play. They played Ian Book and some guy I never heard of, Chris Oladukum, and the Bears played. They did not play
Caleb.
Yeah. They played Brett Rypien, Austin Reed, and Tyson Bagent.
Yep.
And then you look at the other game.
Richardson played.
Now Richardson did play.
Yep.
He's essentially a rookie. I mean, he played four games last year. He's a second-year player. But on the other side of it, Joe Burrow didn't play. It was Logan Woodside the entire game.
Yeah, but again...
I think the Bengals did that last year.
Richardson actually dropped back 14 times.
I wouldn't care work. What yeah. other teams do. Like,
But I think it tells you
what I
the
do.
Likelihood is he's not going to play because it seems to be the trend that less and less are playing.
True.
And by the time you get to that final game,
it's true.
Guys aren't playing. Like, the outlier is the Colts... One out of four teams, and I'm guessing, you know, we've heard from a lot of the teams that they're not playing. Like, the Jets obviously get a lot of press.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers isn't playing.
Right.
Well, Cliff, if it was a clue in his little 10 minutes that he did with the media yesterday, when they were talking about how they were approaching preseason, and he talked about, you know, we're basically just trying to see if guys can win one-on-ones, very vanilla, not really doing anything. He says we might throw in one or two things here or there that we want to do against Tampa. He said, but he specifically said, but with Jaden, like we have plenty of information. We know what Jaden can do. He's passing every color. This guy obviously studying. Like, you know,
they feel confident.
He made the point of saying we've seen plenty enough with of Jaden already. That could be a clue. He's not playing.
All right. So we talked a lot about Jahan Dotson in the trade. He's on the Eagles now.
Mm-hmm.
So what's left at wide receiver? Just want to go through this. This is put it on our Instagram page, Sports Junkies Radio. Give us a follow there. But this is a graphic I got from the 33rd team. And we know this, but they've got Terry McLaurin as their one. You got De'Ami Brown as their two. I guess Oz Olamide Zaccheaus is your three. That's what they have.
Yeah.
They drafted Luke McCaffrey.
Who knows what number they are, but yeah.
But we can talk about who's going to be on the team and who needs to maybe step up in the preseason. So I think those four, they seem like locks.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I think it's a question mark. Because after that, they've got Jamison Crowder as their number five. I don't know if he's locked to make the team. Zaccheaus is a slot guy, and Luke McCaffrey, I know they say he can play all over the field and they want to do different things with him, is kind of a slot guy. I see Jamison Crowder as a slot guy. Like,
But he's returning punts.
Yeah.
Okay. He hasn't done anybody in else. Camp, though.
Like, okay, but he was their punt returner.
Other guys. Yeah, they say they know what he can do.
Yeah. So if that's his role, I mean, he's going to make the team.
But these are the guys battling for spots, and you can even add others, but Jamison Crowder, Martavis Bryant, who just signed.
I need to see it. I can't hear it. My brain doesn't work that way. So get your pen. No. I have the depth chart in front of me, too, but I need to write down.
Write down who you think
will definitely. Yeah.
I think we agree the top four are going to make it.
I think they'll keep seven, if including Crowder as a punt returner. So,
yeah. All right. So let's start.
So six receivers and Crowder.
Terry's a lock. Let's just go through the locks. De'Ami, I don't care what you say. Lock.
You just went through the locks.
Yeah. I know, but I need to see it.
Just let him write it down.
I need to see it in my freaking. Oz, lock.
And Luke
McCaffrey, four.
Luke, lock.
Crowder, five.
Crowder, I think he's on the bottom end of it, but I think. Just because they're using other guys, but okay, I'll say Crowder's a lock.
Well, only because
now, two of the guys they signed during training camp were Byron Pringle and Martavis Bryant.
I think they like Pringle. They keep mentioning him.
Okay.
And then I would say they like Kaz Allen.
They've got Kaz Allen. They've
because
got Tinsley.
He said it, and Kingsbury said it yesterday, and he didn't want people to get carried away with it. Mm-hmm. But he said, I'm not saying he's him. But he does a lot of similar things. We can utilize him in that Debo role. He can take it out of the backfield. He can catch. He's saying, I'm not saying he's Debo.
So that would be your number seven?
Possibly. Now, that leaves out Bryson Tremaine. Maybe they think they could stash him on the...
Mitch, what about Tinsley?
Tinsley's done nothing. He's gone.
He's played a lot. He played a lot. That's true.
He's dropping balls.
That's true.
Previous regime. He's Dunsky.
The 33rd team, for what it's worth,
in my
I do
opinion.
Like that site. They had the Marcus Rosemee Jack Saint guy.
He's played a lot. It seems like he's played a lot.
He's 22.
I don't know. Do you think they're going to keep seven? If they keep seven, can they still keep four tight ends?
Probably not. I'm going to guess they keep three tight ends.
Three?
Yeah.
So it'll be Ertz, Sinnott, and Bates.
Bates.
I mean, they're locks. Those three are locks.
Yeah. I think those are the top three, and Cole's probably
on the outside looking in.
Do they stash him on practice squad? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Who do you think on Sunday, in a meaningless game for your starters, but a meaningful game for guys that are trying to make the team, who do you think? Do you think there are any big names that are in trouble? Like, could Jamin Davis, do you think Jamin Davis is a lock to make the team?
I think at this point, yes. They like, and everyone's talked about how they challenged him, and they like how he's responding to the challenge. When they challenged Jahan,
I feel like he's made enough plays.
Yeah,
do you think? And maybe the move of trading away Jahan Dotson doesn't portend well for this guy. Do you think Fedarian Mathis is a lock?
No,
I don't think he's a lock. But
has he even done anything?
Reportedly, he played much better in this last preseason game.
Remember, they drafted
Pop for me.
They drafted Johnny Newton.
Yep.
So
they got Ridgeway.
They've got starters in Allen and Payne.
Yep.
They've got Newton. They got Ridgeway. Like, that's four right there.
Yeah.
He's an interior defensive lineman.
But Ridgeway's not a lock either, although I like Ridgeway.
I thought Mathis actually shown you more. I thought Mathis slipped behind Ridgeway on the depth chart.
On the depth chart, he is behind.
I thought he slipped behind him.
Yeah. I think Ridgeway's better.
I was reading another guy that also Iran draft pick. Ricky Stromberg, who they drafted in the third round. I heard he's dicey.
He's dicey, but they're playing him all over the place. Now,
that's true.
Is that because they can't find a place where he's good? Or is it because they think he can chip in a lot of places?
That's a possibility.
I don't know. I don't know how to read that.
But is he your backup center?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's been playing
everywhere. They played him everywhere.
They played him at guard, center, left guard, right guard.
They've got a guy, Michael Dieter, listed on the depth chart as their second string center.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Yeah. But Stromberg, I just read that he could be on the outside. It'll be interesting to see
after the roster cut the percentage of players that remain from Ron Rivera's era.
It ain't gonna be a lot.
It's going to be like 20%.
It ain't going to be a lot.
In a year.
Yeah. Well, people could see it coming. Honestly.
I mean, it's a complete clean slate.
You could see it coming. You could almost call it when he just kept calling in, bringing in these bums from Carolina.
Well, it's not just bums. We talked about this before. The four first-round picks. Chase Young, Jamin Davis, Jahan Dotson, and Emmanuel Forbes.
Mm-hmm.
At best, they only have two of those guys now,
mm-hmm.
and they're at least one's a backup who they're trying to change positions in Jamin Davis.
Yeah, I got high hopes for Jamin.
And the other one, people are not high on either.
Forbes, apparently, they've challenged him. He's responding well. That's the best draft report
out of his four was probably 21. It ain't great, but at least the top four players are still on the team.
Give me the four.
Jamin, Cosme, St. Juice, Diami.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're on the team.
But none of them have done much.
No, of course.
But Cosme's good. I'll give Cosme.
I mean, you got two starters, two backups, maybe three starters. I mean, Diami's a starter now. So, but that's probably been the best draft, the 21 draft.
I just need one of these guys to break out so you guys can see that just because a guy hasn't necessarily blossomed in the first 2 years of his career doesn't mean he can't finally blossom in the third year.
Look, my
guess, can happen.
They're going to produce more than they have because they haven't produced anything. But I think the problem is it's going to be like the Patriots receiving core the last couple of years where people would say they just don't have weapons.
Well, we don't have...
Now, they may have a better number one in Terry McLaurin than what the Patriots had, but... Part of the rap, the knock on the Patriots was, okay, Mac Jones started to struggle after his rookie season. He had a good rookie season, but he didn't have him to throw to.
Well, let's just put it in simple points. When you say weapons, do you mean like a guy could take it to the house anytime he touches it?
Yeah, difference maker.
Do you think?
I think we have a couple. I think Terry, I'm going to qualify him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Eckler, if he's like he has been.
I'm a big Eckler fan.
That might
be. And I think we'll see it in the little bit of work.
Well, no.
Like they can throw to the tight end. Like the thing is, it's a less explosive offense, right? The Patriots went that route where they even tried to like load up on tight ends. But it wasn't Gronk and it wasn't Aaron Hernandez. But they tried to go tight ends and like, oh, we got some good tight ends. But they didn't have receivers and it just wasn't an explosive offense.
Who are you talking about?
The last couple seasons.
New England.
Oh, New England. Is that who you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh. No one jumps off the page as an explosive, big play guy. And they know that.
The closest is Terry.
The closest is Terry. Yeah, I mean, he's their number one, but
I think that
a lot of people consider him a really, really good number two.
I think Diami can make some plays downfield, believe it or not. That's what he did.
He did in college. That's true.
So I'm going to say I think he can, if they give him the opportunity, and he's learned, maybe he's a slow learner. You know what I mean? Like a slow adjustment.
Look, it might be.
I think they're going to lose any athleticism.
They're going to have a better offense because of Jaden.
Yes.
However, Jaden might be more in the path of, and it's people are going to get triggered by like a Marcus Mariota type of passing production where he's not going to pass for 4,000 yards because he's going to run for 800 and he might only throw for 3,100.
No, he's not going to throw for 4,000. I don't think anybody expects that.
And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but I think the lack of explosion is bring up the Patriots. Last year, their leading receiver was DeMario Douglas. Sorry, he's not as good as Terry McLaurin. Then they had Kendrick Bourne and Devontae Parker, both roughly around 400 yards and 35 catches.
Valdez, what were you going to say?
It's just, I feel like these receivers are in a lose-lose in JP's mind. Because if they play well, it's because of...
They're just getting playing time?
No. It's because of Jaden is a far superior quarterback than they had in their career. And then if they suck, they sucked all along. But I'm just saying, if they play well, they don't get any kind of credit for it.
Well, if they play well, they'll get credit. The Ravens, for example, you're a Ravens guy. You know, last year, and in many years, they've tried to upgrade at wide receiver. That's why they brought Odell Beckham Jr. aboard last year, on board. And they've got two first-round picks, right? In Zay Flowers and Bateman are first-round picks. Mm-hmm. They felt like they needed to get better at receiver. And what I'm saying is the trend around the league is to try and get more weapons for your quarterback. And it seems like the Commanders right now took away one weapon who's produced. Everybody else besides Terry McLaurin, haven't done anything in the league.
But to defend them, they added Zaccheaus, Oz, and they added McCaffrey.
Right.
So you lose Dotson, but you added two.
They also
lost Samuel, too, by the way.
Well, they lost Samuel,
but
they knew they were losing him.
Even though you guys will mock me, if you watch him, you see the shiftiness. They like Kaz Allen, who hasn't done anything at this level.
Why not even make the team?
Correct. But he is an explosive type player, but they may not have use for him for whatever reason because he fumbled. The fumble did not help him.
All right, let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll talk college football. We've done a ton of Commanders. We're going to talk college football when we come back with head coach of the Virginia Tech Hokies, Brent Pry. Stay with us.
Welcome. My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Back, Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. Happy to be joined on the BetQL Guest Hotline by Coach Brent Pry, Virginia Tech football head coach. They open up against Vanderbilt. You can listen to pregame starting at 10 a.m. right here on 106.7 The Fan. What's up, Coach?
Coach,
how y'all doing this morning?
Can you believe the season is just a few days away, man? This is
awesome.
And by the way, I'll be at the Vanderbilt game. All right, and I've never been to Nashville. And I'm bringing my wife and my two daughters. I got a senior down there in Blacksburg now. She's going to be driving to Nashville from Blacksburg. So
what's that like 6 hours? Eight hours?
No, it's probably like five.
It's about six.
It's about six.
Five and a half, six.
Yeah. So anyway, I can't wait. It's here. Let's just talk about the most important position on the field, quarterback, right now. All right, Kyron Drones, who really played well at the end of last year. Let's get right into it. How much better is he? The one thing that really impressed me about KD last year, Coach, is, man, he takes care of the ball.
Yeah, he sure did. Yep. For a first-time starter,
yep.
You know, I thought he did an excellent job there. And, you know, I hope he can maintain that great decision-making. And, you know, he's very level-headed when the ball snapped. You know, he doesn't make a lot of, you know, snap decisions or hasty decisions, or he's really kind of methodical, and he goes through his reads, and so he's very mindful of the football.
Mm. Hey, I'm curious. EB mentioned he was watching Hard Knocks,
mm-hmm.
and Caleb Williams having sit downs with the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you have like meetings with just your quarterbacks, or do you delegate that to your offense coordinator, your quarterback's coach? Like, what is the interaction as a head coach with your quarterback?
Yeah, I would say as far as position meetings, you know, Coach Bowen and Coach Christ handle those. Kyron and I have a lot of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know, a decent amount more than last year. He's not a real talkative guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as he stepped into more of a leadership role, there's more things that he and I have to discuss. He's now, you know, been named a captain. So there's things there that, you know, that are kind of on our plate together. But, you know, I think he's more comfortable talking with me. There's more things that I want to discuss with him. So, you know, that relationship certainly is growing.
Coach, one of the impressive things about you guys in the off season, and we've talked about transfer portal, you were able to convince your guys to stay. And at one point I read you guys kept 21 of 22 starters. You could correct that number, but you kept a lot of guys. So guys weren't lined up at the door, at the transfer portal door, eager to get out. And we'll talk about the guys you brought in too. But just talk about, you know, convincing some of these players who may have been thinking about leaving to stay and to kind of continue the success of what you're building off of a bowl season, because you guys played Tulane in the bowl and Navy. I was there. Talk about just convincing these kids, hey, you know what? This is the place for you, man.
Yeah, I don't know if convincing is the right word.
Okay.
You know, we did a nice job, not just myself, but several staff members of gathering information even before the season was over. You know, what is Quan Felton? You know, what's the information we can give him and his family to make the best choice? You know, is he considering going to another program for more money? Is he considering throwing his hat in the NFL? You know, everything from the numbers at wide receiver that would be coming and entering the draft to, you know, the dollar amounts to, you know, what other wide receivers at other programs are making, you know, and then, of course, you know, the ability to talk about our offense and continuing the momentum, and with KD returning, and, you know, that all those things, you know, giving these guys as much information, because I want them to stay for the right reasons.
Right.
And, you know, they have strong relationships with their position coaches. They have very strong relationships with their teammates.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was probably the most significant thing. They like playing together. They have a strong brotherhood. You know, they like the process. They like being at Virginia Tech. And they believe we can be, you know, we can be good. We could be better. And if they all came back together, and, you know, the last question I asked each one of them in those retention meetings was, you know, don't, you know, I guess something that I asked of them more than a question, don't come back to be the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to do this and recommit to this, it's to be better.
So,
and I think to a man, they've pretty much done that.
Just kind of talk about the receivers that KD's going to be throwing to him. You mentioned Daquan, and he was your leading receiver last year, almost 700 yards, eight scores. Jalen Lane, good player. Jennings was going to be your number one, but then he went down with a serious injury in the Purdue game. He comes back. First of all, how's his health? And then just talk about the unit in general of the receivers that you really love.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned those guys and, mm-hmm. you know, Jay Lane, Quan, proven production out there. Ali, certainly somebody that's had success at other places and other moments, had a big game for us to open the year. He's had a great camp. I think he's probably playing his best football right now. Another addition that, you know, to that group that agreed to come back – was Steve Gosnell, who came off of a major knee surgery in the bowl game, an injury in the bowl game, and looks great.
Good.
And so you got four old guys that are playing their last year. That
They're all grad really, transfers, right? They're all grad guys. Yeah.
Yep, they all get it. And then you've got Aiden Green, who's really come on as a second year player, had a tremendous spring. Good off season, he's going to factor in and be in the mix. So it's a good room. There's a lot of there's young talent. There's these old heads that understand how to practice and have really high goals and aspirations for our team and for themselves. And that was big. When KD wanted to come back and Jay Lane wanted to come back and Bayshaw, they. The other guys, got them excited, to spurn maybe some other opportunities. And I think that carried over to the defense with Dorian and Mansoor and APR and these guys all deciding to come back. And, as you mentioned, it trickles into the transfers, right? These guys that you're recruiting go, man, the Hokies got a lot of guys coming back that have been productive. They've got momentum. And so it helps you go out there and recruit those older guys to come in and fill some need areas.
Talking to Coach Brent Pry from Virginia Tech. Third season was 3-8. His first season improved to 7-6 with the bowl win, so 8-6 overall in season two. I'm curious. So we were talking about this before you jumped on about Ollie Jennings in particular, and he's been this Virginia Tech's his third school. It's his sixth year of college football. So we were just guessing he's 24 years old. Who's the oldest guy on the team? Like, what's the range? I'm sure you have some 17-year-olds. But is 24 the oldest?
Yeah, we've got, I think we've got two guys at 24, and then Bob Schick, our offensive lineman. He's either about to turn 25 or it's already turned 25.
Wow.
So, That's crazy. You got 6 and 7 years difference between some of these guys.
Yeah.
That's wild.
All right. So you mentioned the portal. So talk about the, you kept a bunch of players. But talk about the kids you brought in. You brought in Nias Peoples, who was from Duke. He was one of the best defensive linemen in the conference last year. You brought in Kelvin Gilliam. I think he's from Oklahoma. You brought in a linebacker. But just talk about, especially on the defensive side. Your defense was good last year. But
I think we really got some things squared away down the stretch and played pretty well.
Right.
But, we lost three D tackles to graduation. Mm-hmm. And collectively, they were a pretty good group. So we needed to help ourselves there. And, Aeneas, there was a previous relationship with our corner coach, Derek Jones, and the family from the recruitment at Duke. And so we had immediate in and, worked really hard. Duke and Coach Diaz, rightfully so, worked really hard to keep him. And, we're fortunate to have him. And then Kelvin Gilliam was a young man that we knew about from Richmond. He's a Highland Springs guy, which we have a couple of those guys on the team. And, wasn't having much success out at Oklahoma. Liked our scheme, our structure, and, saw the success that APR had, going off to a program in another league where maybe they think the grass is greener, returning home to Virginia Tech. As APR did, and having big success. So, Kelvin's going to play a lot of football for us this fall. And then Sam Brumfield, a little bit different scenario, not all the ties, but, several of us know Coach Stock still, the longtime head coach at Middle Tennessee for quite some time, and just tremendous respect and trust in how he ran his program and the type of kids he recruited. And, so my conversation with Coach Stock still and, his passion and his sentiment towards Sam Brumfield, it really had a chance to, we had some candidates, but we needed a true mic to throw into the mix. And there was no guarantee Sam wins the job, but he did.
Good.
He's had a tremendous off season. He's really worked. He's a great teammate. I think it's a testament. And, he's named captain, and he's been with us since January. So, we've been fortunate. We work really hard and vet these candidates really, really hard to make sure that we're getting the right guys. And so far, we've been pretty successful that way. They've helped us on the field, and they've been really good in that locker room and on our campus.
Coach Pry, looking at your schedule, Virginia Tech, of course, opens at Vanderbilt. But there's a two-week stretch, and I'm just wondering what the travel's like, how you prepare for it, where you head to Miami, and then you go all the way to play Stanford. What is that going to be like for you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we obviously, you know, I don't like to look ahead, but when you're talking about planning and preparation and travel, I mean, you have to, especially with trips like you mentioned. So, you know, the operations staff, you know, they dove into that, you know, this summer. What's the best way to handle the short week with Miami? You know, then we've got, you know, an extra day for the Stanford trip. And, you know, as of now, we're going to travel out there on Thursday. I think a fair amount of teams are doing that are playing a West Coast game, but not everybody. And then we're open the week after, which is also interesting in how you plan for that. And I think we follow with a Thursday night game. So,
yeah.
You know, there's got to be a lot of thought into that. And, you know, you make a lot of phone calls, you ask a lot of questions, and you kick it around quite a few times before you settle on what you think will be best, you know, for our team.
How crazy is it that and your dogs are talking in the background, too. That's awesome. How crazy is it that you're going to play Stanford on the road in a conference game?
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't think that's set in yet, you know, until yeah. We're out there. And, you know, even when, you know, game week hits and you're looking at their film and studying those guys and, you know, and then you get out there and, you know, and you're all the way on the West Coast and, you know, playing a team that nobody at Virginia Tech's very, very familiar with.
Right. How are you guys feeling as a staff? And, you know, I'm sure the players are all pumped up for the year and conference realignment, 12-team playoff. How are you guys feeling as a staff about the possibilities of, and, you know, where you guys rank in the conference? Do you feel like right now your team good enough on paper, on the field, to contend for an ACC championship?
Yeah, I think everybody in our organization believes we can do that. But we also, you know, we all understand that there's work to be done and that we'll have to be a team that gets better each and every week. You know, we're not the type of team right now that can go play poorly and win a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to play well in all three phases, play complementary ball. We need to continue to get better. We need to continue to have young guys grow and develop and learn and be more trustworthy on the field. You know, and in the end, you got to make decisions and you got to play well. You know, I've been around plenty of more talented teams that don't win the game. So, you know, we got to continue our preparation, stay humble, stay hungry, you know, to have a chance to do some things that we could do.
Real Coach quick, Prime. before we let you go, sorry, I got to ask you about Dante Lovett. DeMatha, we're DeMatha guys. Yeah. Two of us went to DeMatha. Yeah. Dante Lovett, where is he? He's a DeMatha kid, great kid. I met him on his recruiting trip. And where is he on the depth chart right now? Because he's a good player.
Yeah, he's our second boundary corner, behind Mansoor.
Okay.
So he's going to play a lot of football for us. He'll have a significant role on special teams. He's getting better all the time. We're excited about Emmett Laws, you know, a young guy in the program that more than likely will redshirt, but you never know. You know, so DeMath has been good to Virginia Tech. We're going to continue that.
Yes, sir.
Coach Pryor, I was actually going to ask you a personal question. We know that coaches work long, long hours. How often do you walk your dog during the college football season? Is it just one dog or you got multiple dogs? It almost sounded like two.
Well, let me tell you, we got one real dog, and then we got one that's 4 pounds. Walking it down the sidewalk is enough.
That's your wife's dog.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That is her dog.
Yeah, you got the big dog, and she's got the small dog.
But are you responsible for the dog during the regular season?
No, I'm not.
No,
there's none of this. I'm running home at lunch to let the dogs out.
Right. No. All right, Coach. We're pumped, man. This is going to be great. Of course, we air the games, and we want to get you on again in the next few weeks. But good luck against Vandy.
Hey, I appreciate you. I got a question for you guys. Have you seen our billboard up over there with our DMV guys?
Oh, where is it?
No.
Where is it exactly? Do you know?
I don't know exactly, but it's been up about a week, so you got to check it out.
All right. We'll be on the lookout. But our listeners, if you tell us where it is.
They'll tell us.
Shoot
us
a text.
Yeah, there you go.
It's got to give us the address. It might not be on our commute.
Yeah.
It's a good-looking billboard now,
okay.
I'm telling you.
We'll find it.
We're proud of it. Highlights a bunch of guys from up that way. Appreciate y'all.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks a lot, bud.
It's Coach Pry, third season at Virginia Tech, improved them from 3-8 to 8-6 last year with that bowl win.
It's unbelievable how you're all in on Tech now. You are just all in. It's great.
Both of his daughters
spent
went there.
Spent a lot of time there. Spent a lot of money. Yeah, you're right. Because I was not a Hokie fan for many, many years.
Yeah, but you're all in now. It's
I'm
great.
All in, man. Yeah, and he's easy to talk to.
He's a nice guy.
He's great.
Yeah. Hey, in a world where every mission is critical, where security and precision are paramount, one small business stands ready. OSI Federal, a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business, is your trusted partner in mission-critical IT solutions. With unparalleled expertise and unwavering commitment, OSI Federal understands the urgency of your IT needs. From cybersecurity to seamless integrations, visit osifederal.com today and discover why OSI Federal is the choice for federal government agencies and systems integrators alike. OSI Federal, empowering your mission with precision and excellence. EB, you know guilt works, right?
I don't know that.
Guilt works. I'm sure you've been guilted into doing things from your mom, your wife.
Depends on who's guilting me.
You suck it up.
Like Rom tries to guilt me, it doesn't work.
Understood, but your mom might guilt you in, you haven't visited me in a couple of weeks, and then you got to go visit her.
Right.
So last night, my wife, she probably told me before, but I didn't realize. School starts next week, right?
Right.
And she goes, what time are you going to meet the teacher? I said, what are you talking about? I don't remember if I went to meet the teacher last year, but I did not have it planned.
It's your third
or
kid.
Today.
Third kids, we don't meet teachers anymore.
Oh, I don't even think I met him for the first two.
First
I'm pretty
two,
much,
I
I'm like you. I think we're very similar this way. We have delegated school to our wives.
I delegate academics to them.
And I actually told my wife this. I was like, as long as I see the production, then I'm hands off.
Do you know that? This might shock you. I haven't looked at one of my kids, any of my kids, report cards. 15 years, maybe. I don't even see them.
No, I look at their report cards.
I don't.
I say, did you do well?
I ask them they're great. Yeah, I would ask them the GPAs.
I have a
look at the grades.
Every few years, I ask them their GPA. Yeah.
I have that stuff organized.
But I also just want them to graduate on time.
So
the GPA doesn't matter.
I got to copy that.
I mean, unless they're going to grad school.
I couldn't tell you. So Dylan's going to be a senior.
I just don't care about academics.
Dylan's going to be a senior. I couldn't tell you one teacher's name that he had as a junior. Impossible. I know the courses generally he took, but I couldn't name a teacher's name. Yesterday,
unless they were in my family, our pool, neighborhood pool.
Yesterday, we go to dinner, and it was me and Dylan, Isabella, and one of her friends that I put through a little soccer session.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan went to the same elementary school as this girl, and he asked who is their teacher. There was a whole discussion about who your teacher was, and turns out her first grade teacher was Dylan's first grade teacher. Whatever. And then Dylan said, Isabella, who was your teacher last year? And I thought, now that's first grade. They only have one teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't pull it.
I don't know.
I didn't know. And so my wife, though, is like, are you going to show up? Would you show up to meet the teacher, your second grade teacher?
I did that with my son, for the first couple of years.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I actually did that throughout high school with my son, actually.
I did it last year, and I'm going to do it today because guilt works. But I think that I met the teacher last year, and then the only interaction I had with her the rest of the year was occasionally when I was picking up my kid in carpool line, I would see her and I'd wave.
So here's my theory on it, okay? When you have kids, nothing's more important to any of us than our children. Nothing.
Right, and their education.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right.
I know they'll be fine.
But the attraction, in my opinion, is we love to go talk to teachers and have them say nice things about our kids and see what they think about our kids. That's what for me, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll go over there. You want to go talk and say nice things about my kid, how much you love him and everything, and what he needs to work on? Sure, I'll do that. That gets old after a while, though. But when you're a new parent,
that's kind of a post-game thing. This is pre-game. This is pregame where you do a quarterly report. This is the what's going to happen today, and I know it. You're going to go, and they're going to show you the classroom.
Oh,
and they're going to say, hi, I'm Mrs. So-and-so, and we're so excited to teach your kids, and here's their cubbies, and this is where they're going to put their backpacks. And I need to be that?
You don't need to. I mean, do you want to be involved? I mean, do you want to meet the kid? I mean, the teacher.
Do
you want to meet the teacher?
No, he doesn't care.
I don't think any of us truly care.
Well, then what's the question?
I just told you walked in late. That guilt makes you do it. Like, I'm going to show up.
Your wife
otherwise...
is the one that's guilting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife has given up on me.
I mean, I did it because my wife said, you're home. You're home at 11.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just go meet at 2. Let's go meet the teacher.
Right.
But I don't think I did it every year.
I liked that early on. I liked people saying nice things about my kids and stuff.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen today because today is a meet the teacher.
Those are the worst.
Right.
You go sit in a little chair.
Exactly.
That's brutal. I've done it, but it's brutal.
But then you feel like a jerk. Like my wife said, are you going to meet the teacher?
I don't feel like a jerk.
I said, what are you talking about?
You'd say, no, I'm going to work on my wedges.
I could do that.
Well, you'll end up doing it, so it'll be fine.
Meet the teacher. Oh, Sean Foley?
Exactly.
Hey, did your guy ever text you back or whatever? Which you back?
Perpetual swing?
I don't know, the person you're obsessed with.
He just totally blew off my swing. I don't know.
Does he keep
the thing is, here's the thing. Explain to me this. He's on Twitter. He says, DM me your swing for an evaluation. He evaluates 900 swings all the time.
He gives you a rating out of 10.
Yeah.
And he's done. Like every day comes out with new people.
If he doesn't follow you, you can't DM him.
Right.
I don't know how to do it.
Oh, so he doesn't follow you.
No, why would he follow me? He didn't know me. He knows nothing about me. So then he did say, if you go to Facebook, he had a new Facebook page.
Right.
He said, go to Facebook, and then if you friend me there or whatever, I'll rate your swing. So I followed him on Facebook. I sent them a message on the messenger. Nothing.
Zippy.
He hates my swing. Or
is that why? Is that why you post videos of it every day?
I think it's just stuck in cyberspace.
No, I doubt improvement. That's all.
But also, he might receive hundreds.
Yeah, my guess is he gets a lot. Have you sent it more than once?
Oh, then you're
no. I sent
then,
it
then
once.
He's really thirsty.
You know, like on Facebook, I never use Facebook Instant Messenger, but like I used it here where I sent the video and I said just be nice, and then a day later
wrote just be nice.
No, I said be nice. I'm grinding here. Whatever. I'm just trying to make small talk, and then the next day when he didn't do anything, I just sent another message.
Oh, you sent a follow-up.
A message. Just say, I followed you on Facebook, and I don't know how to send it to you via Twitter.
I'm desperate for you.
If that was a girl that he was trying to date,
I'm desperate for you to critique my swing.
Right?
Well, I'm
if that was a girl he was trying to date, that girl would be out. Like he's trying.
I'm not trying to date him. I just want to look at my swing and say nice things.
But you know how many pros and directors of instructions we know in the area that you could send it to?
I've sent it to some people. Oh. Yeah, I know. I just was curious of this guy. I know. I see, by the way, your boy Eisman.
Yeah,
he has
John
a Eisman. Nice, I think it's a commercial on Instagram or something. Maybe he did a post.
Oh,
something.
I
he showed up on my feed.
Is it because he opened up another bay? Training area.
I didn't necessarily say that, but just that he's come silly. Work with them. Yeah, he'll work with you. Whatever.
Quick shout.
He's
out
got
to
an accent.
Quick shout out to one of our sponsors.
Right?
Just random.
Eisman. Is it a different guy?
You might have to show me.
Okay.
Hey, quick shout out to one of our sponsors. Random, but I played with PJ yesterday from BetQL, and we got paired up with a guy who was having a fitting with Jim Donatelli at Golfdom.
Nice.
There you go.
Love golf.
I'm going to Golfdom today.
Got to get out of here. B. Mitch and Finley up next here on The Fan. Do you know guilt works, right?
I don't know that.
Guilt works. I'm sure you've been guilted in doing things from your mom, your wife.
Depends on who's guilting me.
You suck it up.
Like Rom tries to guilt me. It doesn't work.
Understood. But your mom might guilt you in, you haven't visited me in a couple of weeks, and then you got to go visit her.
Right.
So last night, my wife, she probably told me before. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize school starts next week, right?
Right.
And she goes, what time are you going to meet the teacher? I said, what are you talking about? I don't remember if I went to meet the teacher last year, but I did not have it planned.
It's your third
or
kid.
Today.
Third kids, we don't meet teachers anymore.
Oh, I don't even think I met them for the first two.
First
I was pretty
two,
much,
I
I'm like you. I think we're very similar this way. We have delegated school to our wives.
I delegate academics to them.
And I actually told my wife this. I was like, as long as I see the production, then I'm hands off.
Do you know that? This might shock you. I haven't looked at one of my kids, any of my kids, report cards. 15 years, maybe. Like I don't even see them.
No, I look at their four cards.
I don't.
I get. I have. Like
I said, did you do well?
I ask them. They're great. Yeah, I would ask them the GPAs.
I have a.
I don't look at the grades.
Every few years, I ask them their GPA. Yeah.
I have that stuff organized.
But I also just want them to graduate on time. So GPA doesn't matter.
I got to copy that.
I mean, unless they're going to grad school.
I couldn't tell you. So Dylan's going to be a senior.
I just don't care about academics.
Dylan's going to be a senior. I couldn't tell you one teacher's name that he had as a junior. Impossible. I know the courses generally he took, but I couldn't name a teacher's name. Yesterday,
unless they were in my family, you know, our pool, neighborhood pool.
Yesterday, we go to dinner, and it was me and Dylan, Isabella, and one of her friends that I put through a little soccer session.
Mm-hmm.
And Dylan went to the same elementary school as this girl, and he asked who was their teacher. It was a whole discussion about who your teacher was, and turns out her first grade teacher was Dylan's first grade teacher. Whatever. And then Dylan said, Isabella, who was your teacher last year? And I thought, now that's first grade. They only have one teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't pull it.
I don't know.
I didn't know. And so my wife, though, was like, are you going to show up? Would you show up to meet the teacher, your second grade teacher?
I did that with my son for the first couple of years.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I actually did that throughout high school with my son, actually.
I did it last year, and I'm going to do it today because guilt works. But I think that I met the teacher last year, and then the only interaction I had with her the rest of the year was occasionally when I was picking up my kid in carpool line, I would see her and I'd wave.
So here's my theory on it, okay? When you have kids, nothing's more important to any of us than our children. Nothing.
Right, and their education.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right.
I know they'll be
fine. I know they'll be fine. But the attraction, in my opinion, is we love to go talk to teachers and have them say nice things about our kids and see what they think about our kids. That's what for me, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll go over there. You want to go talk and say nice things about my kid, how much you love him and everything, and what he needs to work on? Sure, I'll do that. That gets old after a while, though. But when you're
that's kind of a post-game thing. This is pre-game. This is pregame where it's
meet you do the teacher. A quarterly report.
This is the what's going to happen today, and I know it. You're going to go, and they're going to show you the classroom.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to say, hi, I'm Mrs. So-and-so, and we're so excited to teach your kids, and here's their cubbies, and this is where they're going to put their backpacks. And I need to be that?
You don't need to. I mean, do you want to be involved? I mean, do you want to meet the kid? I mean, the teacher. Do you want to meet the teacher?
No, he doesn't care.
I don't think any of us truly care.
Well, then what's
the
question?
I just told you walked in late that guilt makes you do it. I'm going to show up.
Your wife is the one that's guilting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife has given up on me.
I did it because my wife said, you're home. You're home at 11.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just go meet at 2. Let's go meet the teacher.
Right.
But I don't think I did it every year.
I liked that early on. I liked people saying nice things about my kids and stuff.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen today because today is a meet the teacher.
Those are the worst.
Right.
You go sit in a little chair.
Exactly.
No, that's brutal. I've done it, but it's brutal.
But then you feel like a jerk. Like my wife said, are you going to meet the teacher?
I don't feel like a jerk.
I said, what are you talking about?
I'd say, no, I'm going to work on my wedges.
I could do that.
Well, you'll end up doing it, so it'll be fine.
Meet the teacher. Oh, Sean Foley?
Exactly.
Hey, did your guy ever text you back or whatever? Tweet you back?
Perpetual Swing?
I don't know, the person you're obsessed with.
He just totally blew off my swing. I don't know.
Does he keep
the thing is, here's the thing. Explain to me this. He's on Twitter. He says, DM me your swing for an evaluation. He evaluates 900 swings all the time.
He gives you a rating out of 10.
Yeah.
And he's done. Every day comes out with new people.
If he doesn't follow you, you can't DM him.
Right.
I don't know how to do it.
Oh, so he doesn't follow you.
No, why would he follow me? He didn't know me. He knows nothing about me. So then he did say, you go to Facebook, he had a new Facebook page.
Right.
He said, go to Facebook, and then if you friend me there or whatever, I'll rate your swing. So I followed him on Facebook. I sent them a message on the messenger. Nothing.
Zippy.
He hates my swing. Or
is that why you post videos of it every day?
I think it's just stuck in cyberspace.
No, I just see my improvement. That's all.
But also, he might receive hundreds.
Yeah, my guess is he gets a lot. Have you sent it more than once?
Oh, then you're...
No, I sent it
then
once.
Then he's really thirsty.
You know how you sent... You know, like on Facebook, I never use Facebook Instant Messenger, but I used it here where I sent the video and I said, just be nice. And then a day later, he
wrote, "Just be nice."
No, I said, "Be nice." I'm grinding here. Whatever. I'm just trying to make small talk. And then, the next day when he didn't do anything, I just sent another message.
You sent a follow up.
A message. Just say, "I followed you on Facebook." And I don't know how to send it to you via Twitter.
I'm desperate for you.
That was a girl that he was trying to date.
I'm desperate for you to critique my swing.
Right?
Well, I'm
that was a girl he was trying to date. That girl would be out. Like, he's trying
to. I'm not trying to date him. I just want him to look at my swing and say nice things.
But you know how many pros and directors of instructions we know in the area that you could send it to?
I've sent it to some people. Oh. Yeah, I know. I just was curious of this guy. I know. I see, by the way, your boy Eisman,
he has a nice,
I think it's a commercial on Instagram or something. Maybe he did a post.
He
showed up on my feed.
Is it because he opened up another bay training area?
I didn't necessarily say that, but just that he's come work with him. Yeah, he'll work with you, whatever.
Quick shout out to one of our sponsors,
right?
Just random.
Eisman? Is it a different guy?
You might have to show me.
Okay.
Hey, quick shout out to one of our sponsors, random, but I played with PJ yesterday from BetQL, and we got paired up with a guy who was having a fitting with Jim Donatelli at Golfdom.
Nice.
There you go.
Love golf.
I'm going to Golfdom today.
Got to get out of here. B. Mitch and Finley up next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.